Hare Hare Bo. All glories, the assembled devotees, all of the intelligence. Jagaranam, the waking or active state of the gross senses. Swapnaha, dreaming, the activity of the senses without the gross body. Shushuptihi, deep sleep or cessation of all activities. Although the living entity is the seer. Iti, thus. Ritayaha, the various transactions. Taha, they. Yena, by whom. Eva, indeed. Anubhuyante, are perceived. Saha, that. Adyakshaha, overseer, who is different from the activities. Purushaha, the enjoyer. Paraha, transcendental. So translation, intelligence can be perceived in three states of activity, wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. The person who perceives these three is to be considered the original master, the ruler, the supreme personality of Godhead. So you can repeat. Intelligence can be perceived in three states of activity, wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. The person who perceives these three is to be considered the original master, the ruler, the supreme personality of Godhead. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Without intelligence, one cannot understand the direct activities of the senses, nor can he understand dreaming or the cessation of all gross and subtle activities. The seer and controller is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, by whose direction the individual soul can understand when he is awake, when he is sleeping, and when he is completely in trance. In Bhagavad Gita, the 15th chapter, text 15, the Lord says, Sarvasya chaham riddhi sanavishto matak smritir gyanam aponam cha. I'm seated in everyone's heart, and for me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The living entities are completely absorbed in the three states of wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep through their intelligence. This intelligence is supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who accompanies the individual soul as a friend. Srila Madhvacharya says that the living entity is sometimes described as sattva buddhi, when his intelligence acts directly to perceive pains and pleasures above activities. There is a dreaming state in which understanding comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Matak Smriti Gyanam Ponam Cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, is the Supreme Controller, and under his direction, the living entities are sub-controllers. One must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead with one's intelligence. So, Buddher jagara nam swapna shushuptiriti vrittayaha tayenai vanu bhuyante sodhyaksha purusha padaha. Alrighty. So, Omagana Timbananda Shaganjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, of course, here the topic is intelligence, so it's important that we understand what intelligence is, and then what spiritual intelligence is, and how to maintain spiritual intelligence, because this word intelligence is oftentimes misunderstood. Sometimes people think intelligence means the ability to remember things or the ability to calculate things, but that's not really what's being referred to here. So in order to understand intelligence thoroughly, we need to understand the different material elements according to the Vedic description. And so there's 8 material elements according to the Vedic description. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, and intelligence, and false ego. So of these, 5 are the grosser material elements. They're called the Pancha Mahabhuta. That means the 5 great elements. And that's earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And those are the ones that we actually can have some perception of. I mean, ether, I'll explain what that is in a second. But earth, obviously, earth means solid. We're not just talking about earth, dirt, when we talk about earth. We're talking about everything solid. And water means everything liquid. You can turn up, it's hot in here already. Water means everything liquid, and you know, air, I think you pretty much know what air is. As far as the ether, that's something we studied when I was in the university. You know, the scientists were trying to determine, does something exist called ether? And they were pointing laser beams in 2 different directions to determine if there was something called ether that caused the laser beams to go off course. That was their attempts to measure something called ether. But actually, ether definitely means space. I mean, even if you have what the scientists consider to be an absolute vacuum, which means they take out all air and everything like that from it, still there's space. I don't know if any of you have ever been in the university. They would have a bell jar. A bell jar is like a jar that's upside down. And they would suck all the air out of it with a vacuum pump. But there was still space inside. And still electromagnetic phenomena could be transmitted through that space. In other words, radio signals, television signals, or whatever, can still go through space. And of course, we know that because there are satellites, our satellites, the ones we put up, in outer space, so-called outer space, and they're still transmitting television information or mobile phone or internet information via the satellites. So those are the different gross material elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether. And then the mind, intelligence, and false ego are the subtler elements. So the mind, let's describe what the mind is. The mind is not the brain. There's a difference, because the brain itself is one of the composed of the grosser elements. It's obviously, you know, you got a lot of water. There's mostly water. There's some air. And some people, there's nothing there. But anyway, that's another subject matter. There's a vacuum between it. 2 ears. So the mind is different. The mind is like a computer that's basically has different interconnections, and it also, there's some memory in the mind, but I'm sorry, the brain. But the mind is actually on the subtle platform is engaged in accepting and rejecting things according to one's desires or impulses. It's more or less an impulsive type of thing. Let's say I see something that's very attractive. I see an iPhone or something like that. It's very attractive. And then immediately I become attracted to it. I want. And without a consideration of future repercussions, like how much will it cost and who's going to pay for it. That's the mind, the mind's impulses. And the intelligence, which is higher than the mind. Ooh. So Krishnapriya comes in and gets louder immediately. So the intelligence is actually based upon some longer-term plans, what one desires in the long term. In other words, let's say I want that iPhone, and I'm not considering the mind wants the iPhone or the mind supplies the impulse to get the iPhone, accepting, rejecting things. And the intelligence knows, you know, is thinking, wow, my long-term plan is to balance my books, not to go into debt, so therefore I'm not going to get the iPhone. So the intelligence controls the mind. In many cases, the intelligence controls the mind. Nowadays, of course, we have the mind is actually stronger than the intelligence. But the intelligence is actually meant to control the mind so we can accomplish our goals long term. So that's the function of the intelligence. Now, and of course, higher than the intelligence in terms of the material elements, and subtler, that is the ahankara, or false ego. And false ego is the conception of I and mine. That's like the junction between the material and the spiritual realms. In the spiritual realm, everything is focused on Krishna, and everything belongs to Krishna, Ishabhasham, Idam, Sarvam, Yatkancha, Ajagadam, Jagat, Tena Jaktena, Bunjada, Magritha, Kashas, Vidhanam, in the spiritual realm. And in the material realm, everything is focused on me, me and mine. This is my phone, this is my body, this is my country, this is mine. So, anyway, that's called I and mine. Ahankara means false ego. Of course, in the spiritual realm, there is a real ego. And the real ego is, I'm a servant of Krishna. That's the real ego. So you got that false ego and the real ego. So anyway, so the intelligence, which is right below the false ego, that is material intelligence, is right below the false ego, is coming from what Prabhupada describes here and what the Vedic literatures describe as the super soul. So that's a very interesting description. Actually, the super soul is not some superhero that you hear about in the movies nowadays, like Superman or whatever. But the super soul is the manifested representative of God in everyone's heart. And the super soul, situated in the heart along with the individual soul, gives intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness to the individual soul according to the individual soul's desires. So he's reciprocating. Of course, in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's this statement, Yeya tamam prapajante tam sitaiva bhajameha mamavart manavartante manashapartha sarvasha, that as one approaches me, then I reciprocate accordingly. This is Krishna speaking, of course. That as one wants something, then Krishna reciprocates with the desire. If one wants Krishna, then one gets Krishna. If one wants something else, one gets that. That's somewhat in terms similar to that concept of the secret. That someone wants something enough and they meditate on enough, they'll get it. Of course, it's not exactly like that because it's also dependent upon the law of karma. You have to want something a lot and also have good karma to acquire it. It's not simply wanting something and you'll get it, because if everybody who wanted something got it, then there would be no law of karma. For example, I was just reading about the lack of water, or at least the problem with water, fresh water in India. It was a big problem with the scarcity of fresh water in India because the water table is going down more and more. It was on the news the other day. So sometimes they have to dig 900 feet, 1,000 feet into the earth, and there's still no more water, and then it goes down, and sometimes the village wells have actually dried up and there's no water, and people have to walk 3 or 4 miles a day, and some of the ladies have to spend the whole day just looking for water. I mean, it's horrendous. So the point I'm making, it's not that I'm just talking about the water shortage in class, is that they're really thinking of water, they're wanting water, but they're not getting it. Can you imagine walking the whole day just thinking of water? Where is the water? And then finally getting, you know, one jug full of water to do everything that you have to do. And I was thinking how fortunate we are. You know, I turn on the faucet of my house and the water comes out. So it's not that simply wanting something enough, because certainly these people want water, there's no doubt about it, and they're thinking of water all day long, gets you that particular object. There has to be the permission of God, and which comes from good karma in the material world. So we're just talking about the material sphere right now. So anyway, but you do get intelligence according to your desires. So in other words, if one wants to forget God, one gets the intelligence on how to forget God. That's why we say that God is actually the author of all the atheistic philosophies, because people want to forget him, so he gives facility, which is intelligence, and of course remembrance and forgetfulness, how to forget it. How to forget him, and how to come up with a philosophy that's opposed to him. So, that's what intelligence is. So Krishna consciousness is known as Buddhi Yoga. The word Buddhi refers to intelligence. So it's the yoga, or the process of connecting with God through intelligence. So first of all, as we mentioned, one has to have the right desire. Because if one desires to connect to God, one will get the right intelligence. And one will approach the Vedic literatures to get more information, how to fulfill that particular desire. And one will approach a spiritual master to get more information, how to fulfill that particular desire. And one will function on the intelligence that is thus acquired. What that means is that even though one may have different impulses, which come from the mind, which I previously described, one will control them with the intelligence, will not give in to them. There's one verse, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Pashta Vegam, that we have all these impulses that are pushing us. Vegam means like pushings. The impulses of the tongue, the impulses of the belly, the impulses of the genitals, the mind, the anger, and the words, which are pushing us to do different things in this world. So instead of succumbing to these influences, one who is established in Krishna consciousness and Buddhi Yoga will actually be aware of the impulses, but not be controlled by the impulses. In other words, let's say a Krishna conscious person, something happens to him, or someone does something, or someone insults him, and there may be an impulse to insult back, to get angry. You know, just let's say someone says, "You're a jerk, Maharaj." And then my impulse, of course, is probably to send him an email saying the same thing. Immediately, you know, type in my computer, you know, "You're a jerk too, and I don't like the way you look," and all that other nice stuff. So instead of doing that, I will think through intelligence, what is my goal in life, what would help me achieve the spiritual goal, and also what will help this person. And based upon that, I won't give in to the impulses. So that's intelligence. That's Krishna conscious intelligence. Not giving in to the impulses of the mind, the accepting and rejecting of the mind. So how do we maintain this particular determination? Krishna in the Gita gives us many different instructions how to maintain this particular determination. One is in the second chapter, text 41 of Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Bhutir Ekeha Kurunandana Bho Shakta Svarantascha. Krishna says that if you really want to maintain this control of the intelligence over the mind, then you have to be really one-pointed as far as your goal in life. I mean, people should be always thinking about what is my goal in life. And that's called, in Sanskrit, it's called a sankalpa, your intention or goal. So we should be thinking, you know, what do I hope to achieve? I mean, some of us have some material goals, like Prabhupada. He was in Japan, he was talking to one printing salesman there, like on a lower echelon, one of the younger printing salesmen, and he said, "What is your goal in life?" And the printing salesman took his business card, which is on the bottom of a whole bunch of business cards of senior salesmen, and he moved it to the top. And he said, "That is my goal in life," or at least indicated, because I don't think he spoke English too well. So he said that, he basically illustrated, "That is my goal in life." So we all have goals, so we should be thinking, what is our particular goal in life? And of course, in spiritual circles, our goal in life is to achieve pure Krishna consciousness and to go back to Godhead, to help others. I mean, there's all sorts of spiritual goals that help others in the spiritual way that one can have. And based upon that goal, we should focus on that goal. Just like in the business field, when they do this strategic planning, they have, you know, a mission statement and a vision statement for each and every company. And they put that vision or mission statement on the wall of practically every room. I've been to some of these companies and they just said, "What is the mission statement of Starbucks coffee?" And their mission statement is to give everyone a unique coffee experience, whatever that means. I don't know what it means, but anyway. And so they focus on that, you know, or customer service, you know, to serve the customers. And from time to time, you find the companies actually adjust their mission statements or visions so that they can become more successful. So we have to have a mission statement for our lives, and a mission statement, depending upon what your desire is, at least my mission statement is to become Krishna conscious and to help others come to Krishna and to please my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So I focus on that, and based upon that, I can ask myself a question at 24 hours a day, and not 24 hours because they're sleeping also, but I can ask myself a question when there's some decision to be made, when there's some desire to do this or desire to do that. What is pleasing and what is not pleasing to Krishna and to Srila Prabhupada? So that's the intelligence platform. So Vyavasayatmaka Buddhir, AKHA means one-pointed. So we should really focus on it. But then Krishna also says in this verse, Bahu Shaktas Chunantascha, that those who are not really progressing in spiritual life, their intelligence is many-branched. In other words, they have different goals, their intelligence is controlled by the mind. Basically, that's what it's saying. That they're splayed out. Splayed out, spaced out, not focused, etc. So, and then there's another verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the 44th verse in the same chapter, second chapter, which really indicates how one gets splayed out and not focused on the spiritual goal. And that verse is what? Vogaishvarya prasatanantaya pratachetasam vyavasayatmika buddhir samadho navatiyate. It says that those who are attached just to the... it's basically speaking about gross enjoyment. You know, boga. Boga means like enjoying the gross senses, you know, the five gross senses. Those who are attached to that. Bhog Aishvarya and leading an opulent life, being a very opulent person. Bhog Aishvarya Prashaktanam, that means those who are attached to those things. Taya Pritachetasam, they can't focus their minds or their intelligence. And then Vyavasayatmaka Buddhir, they are not one-pointed. Samadho Navadhyate, they cannot be absorbed in spiritual life. Samadho, you know, so like we have the samadhi, which is the final stage of the Ashtanga yoga system, you know, yam, niyam, asana, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So they can't be absorbed. So that's really the point, that if we're attached to this external world and just like going here, going there, thinking something's going to give us enjoyment, you know, and becoming frustrated continually. Of course, in the Bhagavatam, that's described as purnak purnas charvichacharvananam, chewing the already chewed, trying to do something that we've already done and not receive satisfaction for it. As the great personality Albert Einstein once said, insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. That's his definition of insanity. So, anyway, so we should be striving to get our happiness within, not our happiness without. So then what do we really have to be careful of? What we have to be careful of to avoid getting diverted from the spiritual path is also described in the Gita, in the 63rd verse of the same chapter. That's Jayato Vishayakpam Sam Sangusteshu Bajayate Sangat Sanjayate Kama Kama Krota Bajayate Krota Bhavati Samoha Samoha Smriti Vibramaha Smriti Nashtabhuti Nashtabhuti Vrnashyate. That from contemplating things that could divert us from the spiritual path. Jayato Vishayakpam Sam. That means the person, he meditates or thinks about things that are diversions from the spiritual path. And then by meditating or thinking or contemplating on those things, he gets attached to them. Sangos Teshu Bajayat, Sangat Sanjayat. Then he gets very enthusiastic, in one sense it's called lust after those objects. Kama Krodha Bijayate. And then after lust or enthusiasm or super attachment, one becomes angry. Bhavati Samoha. And then one becomes bewildered, and then one eventually loses their intelligence. Their Vyavasayatmika Abhuti, one point of intelligence. So we have to avoid contemplating things that we know might divert us from the spiritual path. And there's many things in this world. This is a world of many different varieties. So we have to be very careful about that. And then later on in the 67th verse of the same chapter, second chapter, Krishna says something very interesting in the same context, the same regard. He says that if even one of the senses, if the mind focuses on even one of the sense objects, just like a boat is diverted, and I'm just paraphrasing this, by a wind, a strong wind, then one's intelligence or mind or consciousness is carried away. So we have to be very, very careful about what we contemplate, what we desire, because then, of course, then we get a specific type of intelligence. And doing that, we can experience happiness, real happiness, and the happiness within, rather than the happiness from the external objects, which have a beginning and an end. Anyway, so this is basically my explanation of intelligence, which is described in this verse. So any questions? Yes, Rudrani?
How is it that we have so much access to methods of introspection? I mean, prescriptions, recommendations, wisdom, and yet we don't become introspective. What gives?
I think mostly it's pride. You know, pride, that we think we know everything, we think we're the best, and we're not really ready to hear from others about our, you know, deficiencies, challenges, like that. And so I think that's the main problem. You know, the pride, where they say pride goes before the fall. So we have to be ready to hear from others.
What's the relationship of the brain to the mind?
That's actually a good question. The brain, as I mentioned before, is like a processing, like the CPU. No, anyway, yeah. It's a central processing unit in a computer or like that, and it processes information. And also, you know, the brain does have memory functions and everything too. It's not that only the mind is remembering things, but it's the mind that manifests the desires of the living entity. The mind is actually this part of the subtle body. Let's talk about this some more, because the mind, intelligence and false ego comprise what's called the linga sharira, which is the subtle body, sometimes called in the West astral body, that carries the soul from one gross body to another. The description given in the Gita is like the air carries aromas from one place to another. So it's a question. It's actually the manifestation of the desires of the living entity. So it's a filter. It filters the original pure consciousness. Material intelligence filters the original pure consciousness, and the mind filters that consciousness. The mind manifests the desires. And just like, or let's say, let's take a computer. Depending upon my desires, I will use the computer in a particular way. You know, I'll surf the internet, look at the news, CNN, you know, USA Today or something like that. Or I'll search for something spiritual. But it's the computer that's doing all the processing, not the mind. I mean, not me. So I was trying to illustrate the difference. Of course, we have to end now. Thank you very much. All glory is to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.